And let me encourage you to do something. All the kids, I want you to go with Mr. Derek to the front porch. Go ahead and go really quick. If you want to go take a picture in the snow, go take a picture, because this is the last one we're going to get this year. Go with Mr. Derek. He's going to lead you out there because he's the Iowa snowman. So go right up back here. I know you want to see it. Families, you want to take a picture, listen, it's worship. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to tell a story while they're out there. Because the Bible says, who knows in the church where the wintry storehouse is? Does anybody know? Go to Job chapter 38 while we wait on the children. Go to Job chapter 38 in half the church and while we wait. Go to Job 38 and look at verse 22. Job 38, verse 22. And look where the snow comes from. And why do we get excited when it changes color, when it's white like this? It's something different for us, and it's something that's, it turns us into this, like, awe, like we're, like, really shocked about ice coming from heaven. What would happen if you and I and these kids or anybody's in charge, what would happen if we dropped that much rain or water from heaven on us today? How would you drop it? How would we drop it? Steve, will you shut that door? I know folks come back in, but how would you drop it? We would kill every human, every plant. We would drop so much water so quickly, right? And God, yet, no matter how many gallons are raining or how many snowflakes fall down or how much ice comes down, God softly places it here on the ground. We know there's floods and different things that happen, but for the most part, when you are riding down the road in your car, what's happening? The rain hits your windows, no matter if we call them gator tears, or you ever seen those rain drops, really big raindrops? Or really small raindrops. So today, I know the kids are excited, and I used to be a kid, and boy, is that worshiping God outside looking at the snow? Yeah, I want you to teach your children, your grandchildren, go to Job 38, verse 22, and it says, where is the winter storehouse? Where is it? God's asking Job, you think you know some stuff. Do you know where it's at? And what is Job's response? You'll see if you keep reading Job 38, 39. God is restoring Job, but he's giving him great counsel, and God's coming to the point of saying, listen, there is one person in charge of the snow. There's one person in charge of life. And listen, that one person is who? Our God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope the noise of the kids come back in, and I hope that you hear life instead of hearing noise, because it brings life to our church. There's so many churches without children. There's no one to go outside and look at the snow today. So kids, I hope you had a good time. Where does all snow come from, kids? Y'all know? From God. That's exactly right. So I'll wait for the adults to get back in, and then we can get started. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 today. We're going to finish the chapter 11. If you went to Catalyst this morning, you had an opportunity to actually read this passage. But the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, he sees fit. He's all the way through the Old Testament and New Testament. I don't know if you've ever read, look for Jesus in the Bible other than just his name, but we'll see today. There's several mentions. The writer of Hebrews, he says, I'm writing really fast. So today is almost as if you're throwing darts. He's throwing a handful at one time. He's going to give us a whole history lesson of hundreds and hundreds and really going back thousands of years. And he's going to tell us, hey, I don't have time to tell you this. I don't have even time to talk about this. But he's going to give us some examples. So let's look at these examples together. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll begin in verse 30. And this, like I said, this will conclude this week's chapter. But let me go and give a spoiler alert for next week. Next week, we're going to begin with chapter 12. And we're going to be talking about the great cloud of witnesses. And so many people often think, or people peeping over heaven like today, and like watching, oh, how are they going to act when it snows today? That's not happening. No one's watching you from heaven besides God, okay? God's in charge of heaven. The cloud of witnesses that we're surrounded by are these patriarchs and those who have gone before. This is who's watching us in a sense that they're not watching. They're actually cheering us on because they went through the hardships. They went through the tough times, and that's who's cheering us on. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he's watching. He's our advocate before the Father. And we know angels see us, but there's not a group of people up there hanging out just looking over the realm of heaven. Because remember, if you did something really crazy and sinful, what would your grandma think if she's in heaven? She'd be upset with you, would she not? She might even say something, and it would cause her to sin. Can she sin in heaven? No, there's no sin in heaven. So that's why if we understand properly where God, the dwelling place of God is, we're waiting to get there. We know we go there, but our souls, the eternal part of us, we'll go there if we've given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read together a portion of this. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 30. The writer continues, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain what? A better resurrection." So keep that in mind, a better resurrection. When this whole series is Jesus is better, they were looking long term. Just put that, if you put notes in your Bible, verse 36, "Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and the chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." Well, that's a mouthful and that's a lot of scripture. Let's pray. Father God, give us wisdom to understand and hear your word today. May we understand what you're trying to say, even to us today in this time. We know, Lord, as we preach this sermon, you said very clearly that your people, the righteous ones, went through all these troubles, and yet the world was not worthy of them. So, Lord, help us walk worthy according to Scripture as you teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Sermon title, simply that, Faith That Exposed an Unworthy World. These men, every time that you actually see God at work in people's lives, you see the righteousness of God counteracting the unrighteousness or wickedness of mankind. You always see that over and over again. You'll see the people who believe God and the people who will not believe God. If you see that they're in Jericho, look what it says. What's happening? How was Rahab saved? In verse 31, "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not" what? What does your Bible say? Who did not believe. Verse 31, the unbelievers are the ones who perished. That's why Jesus can say in the New Testament, same as Old Testament, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." But the opposite is true. Those who do not believe will what? Perish. We know perish in that sense was death, and perish in the sense that Jesus talks about is eternal death. Remember, the righteous saints of God were looking long term. You and I must not look just for today. Because guess what? Our today is going to end someday. Is that true? We always talk about the three H's here at Town Creek. Tomorrow's coming. You're going to be here, and you're going to be in heaven, or you're going to be in hell, right? There's only one of those three places you're going to be. And that's just a fact of the Word of God, based on what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've surrendered your life to him, your future is secure. All you have to worry about is the two H's, right? Here tomorrow or heaven tomorrow. But if you don't believe, listen, you got two H's as well. Here tomorrow or hell tomorrow. And that's a fact of the Word of God. That's not something we just like to throw out there. It makes me feel sick to my stomach whenever time I see how many people have died today. Have you ever looked at that counter? How many people died around the world today and without the gospel message? We must be about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We must tell our neighbors here locally, but we must go globally as well. And that's why we're committed to being on mission with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Sanctity of Human Life in the Southern Baptist circles, and we say we're pro-life. We love life. We're excited about the things that man's doing in the Supreme Court and other places, but listen, we still depend on the Lord, the one who formed us in our mother's womb. We depend on God. We pray to God, and God's moving in our country. I don't know if you see it or not. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent what men's agendas are, but I know God's working things out for his good. If you don't see that, listen, there's some good things that are happening in our world, especially there's some bad things. Everybody says, yeah, what about? Well, you focus on the negative things. I'm going to focus on the things I see God at work, and I want to join him in all that he's doing. We can focus on the negative all day long. We got a list of those. But can you look and see through all the cracks and see where God's at work? Let's give him praise. Let's give him, listen, God's doing a good work. Let's praise him for that. And let's thank even those that are legislators, those who are in charge right now that are making decisions that are godly decisions, whether they you don't like everything or not. Tell them, I'm praying for you. I don't know if you contact your senators and representatives, but contact them and say, I'm praying for you. I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I'm praying you'll make a righteous decision. They can do with that what they want to. Amen? I want you to see in your notes, and if you don't have a bullet today, I forgot to ask. Does anyone, because we run out in the back, they were over here. Does anyone need a bulletin today for notes? If you need a bulletin, our ushers will bring you one because it's good stuff today. And it's a new style bulletin. Anybody stressed over the change? The teenagers thought it looked more like a comic book day. Christian, they thought it was good. They liked it. Well, let's get to it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 40, the writer presents both triumphs and suffering as concluding portrait of faith. Now, over and over again, chapter 11 has been called the Hall of Faith, or the like we say, the Hall of Fame. And I put the word heroes, and I probably should have put the word heroes. After I sent the notes out, it's too late. I thought maybe we should put the word veterans of faith, right? The ones who have experienced it. They're war-torn. We see the stories of them. So I changed it in my notes instead of heroes of the faith, because they're not really superheroes. They're just common people who did common things, and they're ordinary people who God called to do extraordinary things. So I put veterans of faith in my notes. I changed it. Of faith experienced miraculous victories through God's divine presence and protection while others endure intense suffering for the sake of their trust in Him. We just read those. That's why it's present tense. Ordinary believers were transformed into martyrs through faithful obedience, especially during hardships. God allowed His people to honor Him not only through miraculous deliverance, but also through perseverance in the most difficult circumstances. How many of us were told, or you've heard it preached, if you just give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, everything is going to be all better? Anybody ever been told that or heard that preached? Raise your hand if you have. Listen, there's a gospel, there's a prosperity gospel even today. Things are just going to be smooth as butter. Just give your life to Jesus and everything is okay. That's not true. When you gave your life to Jesus, you just went on the other side. You changed sides because you left the world and the devil's ways, and now you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You entered the battle. The battle has come on. That's what Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the spiritual armor of God. Paul's very clear. We don't wrestle against each other, even wrestle. That's Pauline way of saying it. We don't wrestle against each other, flesh and blood, the government, because the government is people. Did you know that? It's easy to blame the government. It's kind of a big... There's no such thing. It's people. People we have elected, and if you didn't vote, you voted for the ones in power, right? Unless you got lost or you're a lady lost. It's like blaming the church for something. The church is us. The ecclesia, the called out ones. You can't just blame a big general population of people and say them, right? It's us together. But I want you to see, listen, when we actually look in the Word of God, God is clear that He actually has one agenda, and what's His agenda? You might bring Him glory. When tough times come, listen, and you persevere, who gets the glory? The Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Jericho, the walls of Jericho, we're talking about it in Bible study this morning. I like war. I like war stories. I like true war stories. I don't care about movies necessarily. I like to read the Bible. And when I was a kid, I used to love, man, the battles. If you want like war stories, the Old Testament is flanked full of them. But Joshua comes up. He's a warrior. He worked for the CIA. And then he had to become a politician. And now he's in charge of leading people. But before he did that, he had to go to Jericho. He's going to take Jericho down. Imagine his soldiers ready to, the pre-war fight. We're going to go ravage that city. And Joshua comes up and says, boys, today we march around the city. And they're like, okay, that's cool. Tomorrow, march around the city. But you got to follow the bugle players and the guys up front. I'm like, really? You imagine being a strong, mighty man with your sword, spear ready to go, and you got to follow the musicians in the war? Are they going to flank off and then doo-doo-doo, right? Because we have musicians still today. And day seven, you're going to do it 7 days, and you're going to turn and you're going to shout and sing praises. Who in here would like to do that? If you're a warrior. So when you read that, who gets the glory for the walls of Jericho falling flat? Who gets the glory? God Almighty gets the glory. The God we talked about it several weeks ago, Almighty God, all-knowing God, ever-present God gets the glory, not Joshua, not the warriors, not the ones who wanted to go in and take the city. God had them follow in obedience. What would have happened if they chose to disobey God? Well, we've already got evidence of those soldiers And Joshua, when they disobeyed God, there was sin in the camp. Back when Achan, the man's name Achan, sinned against God, they went to a small town and they got defeated by artificial intelligence, AI, right? A little town called AI. I'm just kidding. AI is in the Bible, in case you want to know that. That was the name of a town, AI. All right, it's just for fun. That was a terrible dad joke from the pulpit. But they did get defeated. They take care of the sin issue and they go back and defeat that town. So when we come in and look at today's notes, I want you to see this. Look back to your notes. The power of God is demonstrated when the righteous believe him and obey him. Is that true? In your personal life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your diagnosis is, no matter what the situation is, listen, when you obey God, you believe God for it, and you obey God in the toughest of times, because it will be tough because we're in spiritual battles. Listen, he's forever faithful. Amen? But you got to apply that belief, that faith, and you must obey him. And listen, God never gives you a task that you can do. Did you know that? When God calls you to the big task of life, he never gives you a task you can accomplish on your own. Like Joshua, you have to depend on God to knock the walls down. In your personal life, God calls you to do something. Step out in faith, and you're like, God, I can't. I've been doing this for so long. I'm so used to this. This is my favorite color. This is my favorite place. God, I will not move. I can't move. Lord, you know, I'm an old person. I'm a young person, whatever it might be. I just can't make that change. And God says, step out in faith. And when you step out, what does he do? He sees you through. He walks you through that situation. And then who gets the glory? God does. You can't walk around. I can't walk around and say, listen, God saved me. And listen, ain't I something? Ain't so, I know, that's another Pauline word. You can't do the words either. You can't say, I'm saved by works. That's what our Catholic friends are fighting for. Did y'all know that? They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, but man, they got to get their works done. They hope they don't die with their works not undone. It's not faith plus works is salvation. It's faith alone. By God's grace, it's faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he calls us to good works, not to be saved, but to actually do the work to bring him glory. That's why you have an assignment. Kristen talked about bringing your troubles into the house this morning. We do that, but guess what else you bring? Because let's liken our troubles to darkness. Do we bring our darkness into this room today? Anybody have any crazy dreams last night? I woke up with the craziest dreams. I'm like, God, do I have to repent of my dreams? Because I mean, I don't think I was conscious, but Lord, if I have to, I'm going to, because that was terrible. I'm sorry, would you forgive me, right? If I have to do that, all the double checks, all the overt sins and the covert sins, I want to get them confessed because I don't want to get up to this pulpit. But it was terrible. I'm like, Lord, why would that come to my mind? I don't even know, like, the situation. And anyway, it's something I read or something I did. I'm sure that's planted that seed. But have you ever been there? Have you ever been in prayer and you want to commit time to God? You just want to spend time with God? You start praying and you want to pray quietly because maybe you're in a place or an area and you can't be loud and you just start praying quietly and these things come into your mind? Have you ever experienced that? These terrible thoughts and you're like, man, I'm such a terrible person. That's spiritual warfare that we face in Ephesians chapter 6. Well, these people face the same thing. I want you to go back and look at your notes. Same second paragraph there. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they were encircled for 7 days by Joshua and the sons of Israel. By faith, Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed along with them that were disobedient because she expressed faith in God's plan to deliver Jericho to Israel and played an integral role in accomplishing it. What saved her life? What saved her life? Do you remember the story? I gave you the reference to go back and look at that. It was that scarlet cord. That scarlet cord that she let down, she let the rope, she let the men down by the scarlet cord. And then they said, when we come back, get your family together and keep this as a record for our men. Whoever has the scarlet cord, don't touch them and their family. Do y'all know what the scarlet cord represents? The blood of Jesus Christ. It's an Old Testament picture it's a foretelling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What keeps you safe? What saves us from our sins? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that separates you and me from a life eternal separated from God. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's continue and see this, won't you? And I gave you some references there for you to see. God calls the writer of Hebrews to recount examples of the heroes of the faith, pointing to real people and miraculous events that testify to his power. Every single one of them is about God. You can say walls of Jericho. Who gets credit? God. Rahab the harlot being saved. Who gets credit? God. You go through Gideon. He was a weak man, afraid man, and the angel of the Lord called him, oh, great man of valor. Who gets the credit? God. Barak. God. Samson and his foolishness. Who gets credit of his success? God. Jephthah. Go through David. Samuel. And all the other ones we can't even mention. That he goes through. I can't say them all because I'm going so fast. Who gets the credit in their lives when things are happening? Was it bad? The record tells us that the historical record, not in the Bible. How did Isaiah die? Church history says he was tied to a wooden table and men on each side. The king ordered him dead and they sawed him head to middle with a wooden saw. Zzz. They sawed him in half that way. Some said he got sawed this way. Does it really matter if he gets sawed into by a slow moving saw? Horrible death. But what was he looking forward to? He wasn't looking for I don't want to die. He didn't want to die because all of us are made for eternity. But what was he looking toward? To that eternity was stuffed in his heart. Ecclesiastes says God has put eternity in every one of our hearts. Did you know that? Every single one of us have eternity in mind. Sometimes we don't want to think about it because we can't really fathom it. We can't gather it. That we're talking about an infinite God's wisdom and our finite minds trying to grab that. We can't understand it oftentimes. But these people, they were looking like, yeah, I don't want to be saved out of this right now. There's something better coming. They were looking for the day the Messiah was going to come. And he did come, and we live in a day of grace today that we get to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ and living and receiving his grace by faith. But we have a responsibility, and I think we even have a greater responsibility than these people of the Old Testament. They didn't receive the promise. You and I have received the promise, or at least you've heard the promise today, and we have a responsibility to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. Well, if you look at the heroes, or if you want to change it, veterans of faith, had enduring trust in God and his promises. They subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, closed the mouths of lions. And I was going to do a little trivia there. Who was that talking about, you think? Closed the mouths of lions. Who says Daniel? Raise your hand. So that's what was guessed this morning. Did Daniel close the lion's mouth, or who did? Angel of the Lord closed the lion's mouth. So who closed the lion's mouth that we have record of? David. David told Saul, right, when he's going to the battle of Goliath, he says, I've killed what? Killed a lion and a bear with my hands. So it could have been a cub, but he killed him, right? I don't know what size it was, but he did business. Obviously, the lions in Daniel's account we have record of, their mouths are closed until the evil people were thrown in as well. Well, they extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty and unbeatable in battle, and put enemy forces to flight. If you go through, I gave you some records there in Judges chapter 6 through 8, Judges 13 and 14, 1 and 2 Samuel, Daniel chapter 6. You go back and read the stories for yourself and say, wow, how did that happen? And when you read the story, you see the conflict the men are in and the women are in, and you go, there's no way out for them if you read it like a suspense story. And then you get a but God. And God steps in. The fiery furnace. Y'all, have you ever read the story? And we always say we use the Babylonian names. We call Daniel by his Hebrew name, but his buddies, we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We use our Babylonian names. And we did a little trivia this morning. Does anybody know their Hebrew names? Because their Hebrew names are listed in Daniel chapter 1. Go and look for yourself sometimes if you want to write that down. Daniel 1:7 tells us their Hebrew names, but they're called every other time by their Babylonian names. But those men, the oven was so hot, they knew how to smold metal because they were building the statue, and I'm sure that was a construction site for that statue. Those men were thrown into, when they opened the door, the flames killed the soldiers that were going to throw them in initially. Other soldiers had to throw them in. The Bible says not only did they survive, but they didn't even smell of smoke. Is that protection from God? Because who does the king see when he looks in? He throws three in, but what does he see? He sees four. Who's with them? We believe it's one, like the Son of God, who is, we know today it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's with you in your troubled times? I hope that you don't get thrown into a fiery furnace, right? But if you do, who promised? Listen, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything I've taught you. And remember, I'm with you, how long? Till the end of the age. The Lord Jesus Christ promised to be with Christians while we're on mission for God. He's promised to be with us, never to leave us nor forsake us for eternity. Isn't that good news today, church? That's good news in my heart that if I hear when I go through tough times, God's in charge. He can do all things. He gets the glory if we stand back and let him get the glory. But go back to your notes if you would. The faithful suffered immense trauma for the sake of their faith. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured to death, refusing to release the condition of, on the condition of denying their faith so they might obtain a better eternal resurrection. That's what the Bible says. They were looking for a better resurrection. There's none resurrection. If you die and come back to life, we can ask Lazarus when we get to heaven, how was it? How long was Lazarus in heaven? Does anybody know? The one Jesus raised from the dead, how long was he in heaven? 4 days, right? Because the Jewish tradition was, if you die and you've been dead at least 4 days, you're dead. We used to say as kids, you're dead dog dead. You ain't coming back. Because even his sister said, Lord, I used to make the King James make more funnier or funnier than it was. But Lord, he stinketh, right? Lord, he stinks. He's dead. Roll the stone back. Lazarus, come forward. Lazarus was in paradise for 4 days, y'all. Can you imagine getting roll called back? He's hanging out. He's not floating somewhere. There's no in between. You die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's in paradise. He sees Abraham. He sees, obviously, the soul-to-soul connection that they make. Did Abraham know who Lazarus was when Jesus gives the story in paradise? Yeah, he says Lazarus, not a different Lazarus, by the way, different Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. They knew each other. And there's a conversation between that great divide before the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, right? There's that connection. There's a conversation. People know, and there's a way to communicate after we die on this earth. These people we read about, this hall of faith of veterans, they knew they were going to die. It's over. But guess what they said? What did the three men, Hebrew men, say? Listen, whether we die or whether we live, that's up to who? It's up to God. But we won't bow the knee to you, right? We won't bow the knee to cultural norms. We will serve God. And God seen fit that we have this story in the Bible, and we read, and they're commended saying, aren't you glad that those men, those women, stood by what God said? Well, I want you to continue and see the lastly. The persecuted were ordinary people with extraordinary faith. Well, where did they get their faith? Where do you and I get our faith today to actually do what God's called us to do? We say, if you just had faith like a mustard seed, people throw that around like it's a grenade. They'll blow you up in a minute. If they're self-righteous, pious people, they'll pull the pin and drop that bomb on you in a minute. Will they not? Has anybody moved a mountain in this place? A literal mountain? Anybody? Okay. So what happens when our faith is tested? And some other Christian brother or sister says, you don't have faith. You just need faith of a mustard seed. Have a little bit of faith. And God will do it. What if God's doing something in your life that he needs a lot of faith? He needs you to trust him no matter what. Because if you get the diagnosis, we've been through it with Wendy. I've been through it with my heart. Like, when you get the C word, the cancer diagnosis, what happens? It feels like the bottom falls out. And you're like, this is going to be, it's over tomorrow. Is it? No, you'll go get a splint or some kind of brace for cancer. It's a long-term event that's happening in your life. What is God doing? What if God chooses to heal you ahead of time? What if God chooses to heal you in the middle of it? What if God chooses to take you home to be with glory and with him in glory? Does God have the preference in the situation of your health and your situation, yes or no? If you can see it somehow, and I can't guide you through your situation specifically because I'm not going through your situation and vice versa, but if you can say, I know the Lord's in charge, I know I am his and he is mine. Come what may, I'm going to bring him glory. If you can do that ahead of time, while you're healthy, while you're wealthy, whatever's going on, if you can put God out there and say, I want to walk day by day with you, Lord, no matter crazy thoughts, sinful thoughts. Listen, Lord, I sin and I need to ask for forgiveness because will he forgive us as Christians? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness is what he says in 1 John 1:9, this is the God of promise, the God who says, I'm not going to leave you. I've sealed you to when? To the day of redemption. When is that? That's when we see him face to face. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot be unsealed. What can take you from the hand of God? Do we believe that today? It's not in your notes, but I'd like for you to go there if you would, because we have a little bit of extra time here this morning. I want you to see Romans chapter 8. We haven't read this in some time, but I want us to read it this morning. If you go to Romans chapter 8, it's not even on the screen, so you got to go there yourself. You got to go pick up the spoon and pour the milk. You got to go there yourself this morning. Romans 8, when you're there, say amen. Would you go to verse 35? And I'd like you to answer the questions when I ask the questions. Would you do that out loud? Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and he says this, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We've done this before. Who is it? No one, nobody, no, you don't even need good English here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Say it louder. No one. Shall tribulation? Say it like you mean it. Say tribulation, trouble times, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. He says this, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things, circle all if you mark in your Bible, circle all. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now that's troubled. Listen, conquerors through, go back above it, famine, conquerors in nakedness, conquerors in persecution, conquerors in distress, conquerors in tribulation. If you just back it up, that's what he's saying. You're more than conquerors in because of Christ. Then verse 38, I've got it circled and double marked in my Bible. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, church, today, what can take you from the hand of God or the love of God? Nothing. Thank you very much. That's exactly right. Nothing. If everything around you falls apart, listen, God's got you. He's got you. And listen, man comes against you. What can man do to me when I have the Lord? Somebody says, they can shoot you. Shoot me. Absent from the body, where? Present with the Lord. I can't lose. Some people say, you're pretty cocky. I'm not. I'm pretty confident. I'm confident the Lord saved my sorry soul years ago when I was a 21-year-old man. I know for a fact he saved me. I want to be obedient to him in my life. Do I sin still? Unfortunately, the answer is yes. Hey, you don't have to say amen to that, Nita. That's my sister, my mom, my brother, my nephew, my wife. Listen, there's a lot of testimonies that know stuff about me that you don't know. And they know how good our Redeemer is. Through themselves, yes, but also through me. God is the God who loves us. He gives the ordinary people, that's us, y'all. Don't think highly of yourself. He gives ordinary people extraordinary faith to trust him. The question is, will you exercise the faith to trust him? Would you put it into play? Yes, you've given your life to Christ, but have you trusted him for that next step? He's calling us to do something different than we did yesterday. God is always progressively moving forward, and he's always growing us. And as we grow, what do? We have to expand in the situation of our sphere of influence. We might have to leave some things to go to what he's called us to. I don't know what the future is for all of us. God might be calling us to move, or medical situation. I don't know. I know, listen, biologically, we're all jacked up, aren't we? We're broken. Whatever dad, mom had, they gave it to you. They did, biologically. And you're going to give your junk to your kids. Well, you already have. It's just the time waiting. The time's just ticking, is it not? If you don't realize it is, I'm telling you from the pulpit, it is. But God is faithful. He's faithful when it's great and sunshiny and snowing. He's faithful. But he's faithful when it freezes, we lose power, we don't know which way to go in life. He's faithful. When we lose someone, he's faithful. When we gain someone, he's faithful. I want to tell you, listen, today God is faithful. Look at your notes if you would, we'll finish this out. God in his eternal plan had something better in mind for us as well as them, is what the Bible says, so that they would not reach perfection apart from us. God is love. That's back from 1 John. God loves you this morning. Jesus said, I came into the world that people might be saved. I didn't come to condemn the world. But what is the condemnation of man? Mankind loves darkness more than they loved the light. Days of Jericho, could more people have believed? Yes, because Rahab tells them, our people are totally, we would say today, they're tripping out because they've heard that the God of the Israelites is bringing about victory for y'all. We're scared. We're trembling. We're sick to our stomach. We're so afraid. Yet she believed. Did other people know about the God of Israel? Like we talked about the Egyptians last week. They trusted that the God of Israel had split the Red Sea, that he built walls of water, and they saw the Hebrew people walking across. They knew that the God of the Israelites could actually keep that wall up. So they went into the Red Sea not knowing that that was God's plan. The false unbelievers believed that the Hebrew God was their God. They believed in his power. Did they not? They just come out of 10 plagues in Egypt. They knew that God of the Hebrews was a God of power. He beat all their gods 10 times to zero. He won championship belt. So they run through the Red Sea, and the Bible says every single one of them perished. Wiped out Egypt's army. So what could Moses do back in the day when he's punching up and killing one Egyptian? He killed one. God killed the whole army. If you're trying to run from the Egyptian army, what would you rather have? One dead Egyptian or a whole army dead? You say, well, Pastor, we shouldn't talk like that. The kids are in the room. Listen, our God is all authoritarian. Listen, he's God of all authority, is he not? Pharaohs, kings, you name it. The Bible says the king's heart is in God's hand. So with that confidence we have today, how should we live? How should you live? How should you pray? What's our takeaway today? Our takeaway is, listen, I don't want to be sown into, just for FYI, even with a power tool, right? Let alone a wood saw. I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want any of that stuff those people went through. Should it come, guess what? I pray that I'll be strong enough to stand in the face of persecution, in face of tribulations, and what can take me from the hand of God? I hope what I preach from this place is walked out there in that place. Whether I go, wherever I go, that God is with me. And I pray for the confidence, obviously, to obey him, to be obedient. Did you know the Bible tells us that each of us are given a measure of faith? Everybody hold it, if you would, just for a second. Just hold a little bit. I don't know what your measure is. You might have started like this. God's given each of us a measure of faith. But guess what he does as he gives tribulation and times come? Your faith grows every time that you go through something. Even when you say, oh God, I was unfaithful. Guess what happens out of that? Recognition, repentance, comes faith growing. Next time, listen, God, I'll stand next time. I'll let you down. Will you forgive me? Every single time that we have a success or failure, God is building our faith. Here's the question. This is 2026. Is your faith stronger in January 26th, than it was in January 25? Are you still kicking the can down the road going, I just wish God would do something in my life? You've got to step up and say, God, here am I. If it's persecution you want to bring in my life, Lord, with your help, I'll take it. Lord, if it's strength with your help, I'll receive it. What do you want me to do today that will grow my faith? And he'll tell you. But so many Christians are trying to hide from everything. We want to get away. We want to escape the persecution. We don't want people to say something, as Wendy's family said, you can't say something ugly. That's how they emphasize ugly. Her sister especially. Don't say something ugly about somebody. And they emphasize the ugh. Listen, sometimes people are going to say something ugly about you. Don't you know that? Whether to your face or where, usually. Yeah, behind your back. So let me challenge you today. Persecution comes, guess what you do? Be persuaded. Famine comes, be persuaded. Who's going to keep you 100% of the time? God is, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we're sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much this morning that we don't even understand everything we just said. I just said it, and I don't fully understand everything until, Lord, the demonstration of faith comes when, Lord, persecution's turned up, when the volume is turned up loudly, Lord, we either go running toward you or running away from you because we don't understand sometimes. So, Father, I know every one of us in this room, boys and girls, teenagers especially, young adults, medium-aged adults, senior adults, we're all facing some kind of crisis personally, whether it be lost family and friends, whether it be health or wealth issues. But we're all facing something, and we don't know what to do sometimes, a lot of the time, most of the time. So Lord, we're so dependent on you. So Lord, help us in the small things that we think are small and the great things that we think are great, just to put those out before you, Lord, and say, Lord, your will be done, and we trust you. And then, Lord, give us the faith to trust you. May we listen to the Holy Spirit as he comforts us. May we listen to the Holy Spirit as he's our counselor. May we listen to the Holy Spirit as he's our protector. Lord, and do what your word says to do and trust you and obey you. Help us to trust and obey, Lord, because we know there's no other way. Lord, there's no other way. There's no other way. But, Lord, through the power of Jesus Christ, we need you, we love you, and we ask you today, Lord, settle on our hearts that we might make the right decisions for you today, that we'd live with joy. Just as we see the snow, we get excited about something new, that we get excited about today, being in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and telling the world about you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.